It's because if I unmute it, it's gonna.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Excuse me, just got to get a drink there for a minute. Amen. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hope you're doing well. Amen. It's good to see everybody, although I can't see you. Hey, there's some people there. Hey, Clara. Good to see you. Wayne, Judy, Larry, Sandra, Charlotte. Hey, there they are. Hey, Cheryl. Thanks for watching. Thanks for watching. So, yes, the volume should be up. Can you hear? You can't hear. I can hear. No sound. No sound coming through the system. We'll get that fixed. Hold on. Testing. Mic check. Check, check, mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Anybody hear me yet? Still not coming through the system somehow. Oh. Is it on? Can you hear me? Anybody? Check my check. Let me know if you can hear me yet. Give me a thumbs up. No? No, nobody can hear me still? It's probably on the little mini box there, probably. Is the mic on there?
I can hear it on here.
You can hear me? Can you guys hear me yet? Mic check, 1, 2, anybody? Can you hear me? Let's see if I can hear myself, I can't. Testing, 1, 2. Lips moving, no sound. It's not coming through the system, so it's not.
What you got? Anything? Testing 1, 2, 3. Check. Mic check. I hear you now. I hear it. I hear it. It's coming through. Whatever you did work. That's it. Can y'all hear me, guys? There you go. All right. All right. All right. I thought it was going to be a silent service tonight, right? Well, hey, let's get started then. Good to see everybody. Thanks for joining me. I see you, Charlotte and Sandra and Cheryl and Clara and Christopher. Thanks for watching, guys. Clara, yeah, there you are. Judy, I see you on there. Maybe some others are joining us now. And anyway, Lord bless you guys. Hope you're doing well. All right. Well, hey, it's Wednesday night, time for our Bible study, and wow, has it been raining cats and dogs for the last day or two? So I don't know if any of you had to get out in the boat today, but anyway, it's been crazy, but I think it's finally going to clear off a little bit. And so now we can get back to drying out a little bit. Wasn't that a beautiful eclipse the other day? I hope you got to watch it. I saw some wonderful pictures from some of you guys that made some snapshots and put it on Facebook. And it was beautiful how God just kind of let the clouds at certain times just kind of move back so we could see that full eclipse of the sun. Man, it was just awesome just to see God's handiwork. You know, we don't worship the sun, the moon, and the stars, but we worship the God who created those things. And it was so beautiful to see God move in such a powerful way. And I don't know about you, it just stirs my heart when I see God's handiwork in the skies. And so, Lord bless you guys. Amen. So we're going to get started here tonight, and maybe some others. Paul, hey, Ernie, good to see you tonight, my friend. Lord bless you as well. Hey, there was a board meeting one day, and the pastor had announced it from the pulpit. He said, there's going to be a meeting of the church board immediately after the service. Well, after the close of the service, the church board gathered at the back of the sanctuary for the announced meeting. But there was a stranger in the midst of them, a visitor who had actually never attended their church. My friend, said the pastor, didn't you understand that this is a meeting of the board? Well, yes, said the visitor, and after today's sermon, I suppose I'm just as bored as anybody else that's coming to this meeting. Well, there you go. I hope you're not bored, and I hope you're not bored with this service tonight and this Bible study. But Lord bless you guys tonight. It's going to be a great night. God is faithful. And hey, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. We're going to get started and ask the Lord to be with us as we get into our teaching. We're going to start a part three of our covenants service tonight. I appreciate Pastor Augustine filling in for me last week as we've been enjoying the birth of our second grandson. He's a week old, and a week and a day old, I guess, now. But anyway, little Stetson, wow, what a joy. And we've been blessed to have two grandsons in the last 5.5 months born into our family, and we've just enjoyed them so much. And God is so good and faithful. So, amen, we love little Stetson. Can't wait till the day that he can be with us at church as well, and you get to meet him. But for now, we're just going to let him stay home for a few weeks and get a little growth under him, and just make sure everything's going great for him and for mom and dad. So anyway, Lord bless you guys tonight. Let's pray. And I know there's probably some needs out there. We've been praying for Sandra. She's really had some bad knee situations, and she's gone to the doctor. They're waiting, I know, for an MRI to be taken, I think maybe tomorrow, but the doctor thinks she has a fractured tibia. Cellulitis, some infection in her leg. It's really causing her a lot of pain. So let's pray for Sandra tonight as well. Keep praying for Becky Cornelius. I saw her today. She looks great. She's in a rehab facility right now. They're just trying to give her some strength as well, get her back going. But I know she loves you guys, and pray for her today. I just found out just a little bit ago that there's a couple in my brother's church that's been there for years. Linda Simmons had a massive heart attack today and passed away. So pray for her husband tonight. He needs prayer in the church. I know my brother has probably got a lot going on his plate right now, but would you pray for them? And then one of our pastors here in our Metro East section, Edgar Rivera, his mom passed away, and they had her memorial service today. So pray for Open Heavens Church and Pastor Rivera and his wife Nora. And I know there's probably other needs. If you have a request, you're more than welcome to put that down. Misty goes for a test Thursday, so I know she's dealing with some stomach issues. So pray for Misty as well. Pray for our house. Our electricity is out for some reason at home, and pray that it comes back on soon tonight. But nonetheless, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Can we do that? Father, thank you for this wonderful evening you've given us. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your kingdom, your spirit. Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And I just pray that tonight people would just be spoken to, ministered to, that they would be uplifted and encouraged, and to know that you're a God who cares about each and every one of us. And you've made covenants with us, Lord. And we just want to be faithful to the covenant that you've made with us, Lord. And we bless you. We ask you to meet every need. Touch Misty tonight. Heal her stomach. We just speak that over her body tonight, that you just renew her health. We speak that over Sandra's knee tonight, that you'd renew her health. God, heal every bone. Remove every infection, cellulitis. We just command all these things to be gone. And I just pray for relief, Lord. I know that you've given doctors wisdom, but God, you're the great physician, aren't you? You're the master doctor, so you can do things that nobody else can do, and you can do it right now if you just speak the word, Lord. touch her body, meet all the needs of these that have lost loved ones, Pastor Edgar and Sister Nora. We pray for them as they've celebrated the homegoing of his mom today, and we just pray that you would comfort them, comfort the Simmons, Father, out of my brother's church, at this loss of this precious lady, Lord, suddenly. Lord, be with them, my brother, as he comforts the family as well. Just pray for your people tonight. Bless our church. Touch all your people. Just keep us all safe, Lord. Lord, you know everything we have need of, and I just thank you for that. Lord, help our electricity come back on at our house and anybody else that's lost power because of the storms. And just ask you just to do these things, Father. They all mean something to you, and we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, goodness. Lord bless you guys. Thanks for being with us again. And let's get started tonight. Let me just invite you, first of all, to come Sunday and be with us in church. And we miss you when you're not there. And God does some amazing things. And he's been speaking some powerful words to us. And so I want to invite you to come Sunday at 10:30. We are still gathering at the moment in a hotel off of I-30, St. Francis, the Holiday Inn Express. Come join with us. God's moving, and I know that if you know some people that are of a Spanish background, our Spanish church meets at 12:30. Pastor Augustine, they'll really, really enjoy him. There's a Latin phrase, and the Latin phrase says this. It says coram Deo, C-O-R-A-M-D-E-O. Coram Deo. Have you ever heard of that phrase before? It's not seize the day. But Coram Deo is a Latin phrase that translates into this, the presence of God. In the presence of God, or before the face of God. Really, in simple terms, Coram Deo means living our entire lives in the awareness of being constantly in the presence of God. It's really a way of thinking and living that acknowledges God as the ultimate authority and centers our lives around his will and his purpose. The concept of Coram Deo, it is said, can be traced back even to our early church fathers, such as Augustine, who emphasized the importance of living for God's glory in every aspect of life, and people like Martin Luther as well. It is said that the ideal of Coram Deo really goes beyond just acknowledging God's presence. It also involves living out our faith with integrity and authenticity. It means to us being true to who we are as God's children and also reflecting his character in everything we do, not just in our sacred assemblies, but in all our gatherings, in all of our secularization of the world. It means that we should reflect God in everything that we do, in all of our character. And it says that living Coram Deo requires a constant commitment to seeking God's will and to aligning our lives with his purposes. This really kind of means that we should live a life of obedience, a life of love, a life of service to others as an overflow of our relationship with God. One writer said that one of the key aspects of Coram Deo is the understanding that there is no separation, as I said a while ago, between the sacred and the secular. In other words, all aspects of life are equally significant in God's eyes. It should be lived for the glory of the Lord. You know, friends, we shouldn't just live for God when we're on Bible study nights or when we're gathering together for Sunday morning worships or at prayer meetings or whatever we're doing, prime timers or any other sacred assembly, friends. But we should what? We should reflect God in every area of our lives. Amen. We shouldn't just be Sunday Christians. We should be Sunday through Saturday Christians. According to R.C. Sproul, American theologian and pastor, the essence of Coram Deo is to live one's entire life. Listen to this, what he says. It is to live one's entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. Maybe you would type in your comments tonight, Coram Deo. In other words, I'm going to live my life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. Coram Deo. I think of that word tonight, and I just kind of reflect on it just a little bit, and I'm just kind of wondering that maybe Coram Deo also embodies what it means to live in a covenant relationship with God. You see, if we are in a covenant relationship with God, then what are we going to do? We are going to honor God with our lives, right? We are going to submit to the authority of God, and we're going to give God glory in every area of our lives and of our being. Maybe that's what it means to come into a covenant with the Lord, is that we come into a Coram Deo type of relationship. Don't you love him tonight? Don't you appreciate the presence of God? And don't you want to give God more of who you are for more of who he is? That eclipse the other day on Monday just makes us realize how great God is. God is such a big God. You know, I looked at a lot of those pictures, and even pictures that Pastor Augustine made while we were out there looking through our glasses, and he's holding up his phone, and we're blowing the shofar, just kind of a spiritual significance of what that day represents. And a lot of the pictures I saw almost looked like that it was a big old eye, the big old pupil of an eye surrounded by the white that was looking down upon us. Matter of fact, some of them even had the shape of an eye to me, but it just reminds me that we have an all-seeing God who's ever watching over his creation. Coram Deo, aren't you thankful for the presence of God tonight? Aren't you thankful that God loves you and cares for you and has made covenant with you? Now, we'll get into some covenants later, especially the covenant that we have in Jesus Christ and our eternity with him in heaven. It is said that there are two types of covenants in the Bible. If you want to follow along on our church app, the notes are there as well. You can go to our church app and pull it under notes. But there are two types of covenants in the Bible. One of them is called the suzerain vassal covenant. The suzerain vassal covenant. And it's represented by legal treaty set between kings and their subjects, or between two kings. In other words, it's a covenant that is established with what the king would do for the subjects and how they were to respond back to his government. In other words, the king does this and you respond this way, right? That's called the suzerain vassal covenant. But there's also what we know as the royal grant covenant. And the royal grant covenant is an agreement where one person in the covenant makes an unconditional promise to the other, with the other person not having to do anything in return. That's, wow, don't you like those kind of covenants? Amen, unconditional. Amen, that someone would do something for you and doesn't expect anything in return from you. Well, I believe that tonight's covenant that we're looking at maybe has some of this symbolism in it of the royal grant covenant. And tonight I want to look at the Noahic covenant, the Noah covenant, or we call it the Noahic, add an IC on the end of Noah covenant. And we can find this covenant in Genesis chapter 6 down through even Genesis chapter 9. But I want to read first of all tonight out of Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to begin in verse number 9, the New Living Translation. And it's the story of Noah, the account of Noah. It says in verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was a father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It is said that now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. He said, yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. So he tells him in verse 14, build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar. Inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long by 75 feet wide by 45 feet high. That's a big old boat, friends. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. He said, look, I am about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die. But look what he says in verse 18. But I will confirm my covenant with you. And the Lord's speaking to Noah. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as the Lord God had commanded him. I'm not going to get into the deep depths of how big was that boat and how much food did it take to supply for all those animals and the space and all the ramifications of that. But you know, God had it down to a T. God knew exactly what Noah would need. And I believe that God provided for Noah in that moment, in that time, in that season, so that he could survive this flood that was coming across the earth. You see, God made a covenant with Noah, didn't he? John Piper, in an article titled God's Covenant with Noah, he said, one of the basic understandings of Christianity is that history is God's highway to an appointed future. History is God's highway to an appointed future. In other words, at the beginning of history, God saw the end of history. He saw what he aimed to perform, and he knew what had to be done to achieve it, and he decreed that it be. Aren't you glad that we have a God who knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning? John said, in a very real sense, then God runs history from the future. That's really powerful to think. You know, God's already in our future, and he's orchestrating our past, and he's orchestrating our present to our future. If you don't believe in a God who is powerfully involved in history, then the only explanation events you will look at are for past causes and not future purposes. Could it be that things that have happened in our past are really to lead us into our future? Sometimes we get so hung up on our past problems and the past causes that we forget that we have a God that's not only a God of yesterday, but he's a God of today, and he's a God of tomorrow. You see, as soon as you reckon with God of the Bible, tomorrow will always be a part of today's explanation. What's that scripture that says that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us? You see, sometimes we're just so focused on what's happening right here and now that we forget that God has something better for us in our future. You know, for Noah, it would have been so easy, and I'm sure he was, you know, if we just be honest, so easy to be caught up in all the things that were happening, the wickedness of the world and the evils that was taking place, how man had turned his heart from God. And, you know, I'm sure he's thinking about how this boat and what all this is going to mean, because, you know, rain wasn't something that was common at that time. Maybe they had never seen it rain from the sky before, or rain up from the ground, but here was an experience that would only unfold as future carried on. You see, if God runs history from the future, and if the coming of the Son into history is a foretaste of the future, then the experiences of Noah and Abraham and Moses and David are all preparations for the coming of Christ. I really believe that the Old Testament is a foreshadow of the New Testament. It points us to who Christ is and his coming the first time, and ultimately his coming the second time. And of course, we know Christ fulfilled the Old Testament as well. But the history of the past, what it prevails and propels us to the coming of Jesus in the new. You see, God made a covenant with each of these saints, Abraham, Moses, David. He made a covenant with them. And covenants always contain promises, friends. How many of you know that 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, and all the promises of God are yes and amen. They find their fulfillment in Christ, the amen. So we could say that tonight the coming of Christ was the future, which guided all of God's work in the Old Testament. Everything God did, the tabernacle, the leading of the children of Israel, was all what? Was a pushing toward the coming of Christ in the new. It is said that there are a threefold message according to this flood. Let me just give you that real quick this evening. The threefold message according to this flood is, first of all, wickedness of man was very great, and his heart was full of evil continually. The Bible talks about that in Genesis chapter 6, that man's heart had become so wicked. All he thought about was evil and violence. The world was so corrupt. Matter of fact, God said that he observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. The only one who wasn't corrupt was Noah, who he found and had favor upon. So we see that this message was brought along, first of all, because of the corruptness and the wickedness and the evil that was in man's heart. In the beginning, we see that ultimately Christ would come and what? He would fulfill this sacrifice for our sins and would take the sins of all mankind and nail it to that tree at Calvary. The second part of the message of the flood was this, is that God's patience does come to an end, and he destroys unrepentant sinners in judgment. That's a powerful statement. You know, if God is such a loving God, why does he allow bad things to happen even to good people? But why does he destroy people? Well, because man had become so wicked. They had become so corrupt. They wouldn't listen to God. They wouldn't follow God. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and ultimately God gave them over to the consequences of their sins. He destroyed the unrepentant sinners in judgment. Here's the third thing that we can see about this message of the flood, is that God only does not surrender his purpose in creating man, though. Even though he destroyed those unrepentant sinners, he did not surrender his purpose, because he saved Noah and his family. You know, judgment is real and judgment is horrible, but can I tell you, judgment will not be the last word. The story of Noah and the story of sin openly points us to victory and to a new covenant with Jesus Christ. And God saved those that found favor in his eyes, those who were living righteous lives. And even though it was only one man and his family, God saw their heart and saw their lives and saved them from the corruption of the flood that was fixing to swallow the earth. So we see this threefold message about the flood, the wickedness of man, God's patience running out, and then God not letting that judgment of the flood be his last word. You see, that's why he made this covenant with Noah, because this wouldn't be his last word. Let me give you some initial features that I see of the Noahic covenant tonight. Some initial features that I see. And the first feature that I see about this covenant that God had with Noah is that it is a unilateral covenant. In other words, it was initiated and it was dictated by God. In other words, there was one side that took responsibility ultimately for this covenant. You see, the responsibility, when something is unilateral, the responsibility to fulfill this covenant lies entirely upon one party rather than both parties in agreement. In this case, the only responsible party is God. God didn't tell Noah that you know what, only if you do this and only if you do that. He said, no. He says, I have seen the wickedness of man, and I'm gonna change this. I'm gonna end this. I'm gonna destroy this, and I'm just gonna start it all over. This was God's initiated covenant and dictated covenant by himself with Noah and his family. It was a unilateral covenant. I also see that this initial feature of the Noahic covenant wasn't just unilateral, but it was universal. In other words, it covered the whole earth, right? It wasn't just located in one part of this earth, in one land, among one people group, but it covered the whole earth. It covered all humanity. It included everyone. And not only all humanity, but it covered all creation. Maybe this is the only covenant that covers everything that God had created in the beginning. So we can see that the Noahic covenant was a unilateral covenant. It was a universal covenant, but it was also a unconditional covenant. In other words, God had made up his mind. You know, I know prayer changes things. And we know that we can pray and seek God, and it can change the mind and the heart of God. Just like Jonah, just like the people of Nineveh, they repented, you know, when Jonah came and told them that in 40 days, you know, God was going to destroy them for their wickedness. You see, God's mind can be changed, but nobody cried out to God to change his mind. And God had made up his mind that, you know what, I'm just going to start over, and I'm going to use Noah and his family to make a covenant with for the future. And he knew that Noah and his family would ultimately, you see, his family would ultimately usher in the coming of Christ, right? And if we really want to bring it all down, we all come back to the same lineage and ancestry. We're all kin. Did you know that? Hey, brothers and sisters, how are you doing tonight? Maybe wave at somebody and say, hey, you're my brother and my sister. We're family tonight because we all come from the same ancestral line. Think about that. It's powerful, isn't it? Genesis chapter 9. Let me take you over there for a few minutes this evening. Genesis chapter 9. God confirms his covenant after the flood with Noah and his family. And here, begin in verse 1. The Bible says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, all the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I have placed them in your power. I have given them to you for food, just as I have given you grain and vegetables. But you must never eat any meat that still has the lifeblood in it. And I will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. And anyone who murders a fellow human must die. If anyone takes the human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands, for God made human hands in his own image. So now be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth. Verse 8, then God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants. And with all the animals, and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and the wild animals, and every living creature on earth. Sometimes I get talking too fast and I swallow wrong. Verse 11, yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Then God said to Noah, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all the living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth, he said. And when I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds. And I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. And God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant. I am confirming with all the creatures on earth. Aren't you thankful for God's covenant? Aren't you thankful for the beautiful rainbow that reminds us of the covenant that God made these thousands of years ago with Noah that I believe really carries on with us today? This is one of those unconditional, unilateral, universal covenants, friends, that I believe goes from generation to generation. You know, our hope is that when we have floods and storms like we've done in the last few days, is the hope and joy is that those things will end, the sun will come back out, and the earth will be restored. The water will dry up like it always does. And we're going to survive this. Amen. We can get out and we know that the floodwaters aren't going to cover the whole earth. That's a part of the covenant agreement that we have. And when we see a rainbow, don't you love a rainbow? I remember there was one time that we were going through a difficult situation. I just remember looking out the window in the kitchen outside and all of a sudden I saw a double rainbow. Somebody here recently said they saw a triple rainbow. That's so awesome. But it just reminded me that God not only blesses us, but sometimes God even doubly blesses us. You know, when God says something twice in scriptures, there's something of importance there that you need to really hang on to and understand what God is saying. When he says verily, verily, or when he calls somebody's name twice, he's really trying to speak something into their life and get their attention. You see, friends, God gave provisions for the Noahic covenant. And here's some of the provisions. Let me just try to finish up tonight. Here's some of the provisions that God gave through this covenant that we can see in chapter 9 of Genesis. First of all, man did have a responsibility. And man's responsibility was to do what? Repopulate the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, I know that was given to Adam and Eve in the beginning, but now that this flood has come and all things have been wiped out. You know, God gave Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives and, you know, even all creatures that he brought into the boat. He brought one male. Did you hear me? One male and one female. Why? Because that was the way they were going to repopulate and reproduce in the earth. God blessed Noah, his sons, Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. So their responsibility in this covenant was to repopulate. There are also other things that God gave them provisions in this covenant was that God gave man the power to rule over all creation. In verse 2, all the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along the ground, all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I have placed them in your power. You know, up until this point, I don't know how that all evolved. I know in the garden, you know, all animals are grass eaters, right? But now, you know, things were changing. And maybe before the flood, you know, animals didn't fear man because there was this relationship with one another. But now that the flood is over, God is saying, I'm giving you dominion over this. And they will fear you. And look what else he does. He permits man to become not just vegetarians, but meat eaters. All you men and women that love meat, you can say amen. Say, so where's the beef, huh? He permitted man to eat meat, but he said, don't drink or don't eat the blood. He said, I've given you to you for food just as I have given you grain and vegetables, talking about the animals. But you must never eat any meat that still has the lifeblood in it, because the blood is the life of the animal. So he established this covenant and gave them some permissions and provisions in this covenant. He also established the sacredness of human life in this covenant. Verse 5, and I will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. And if anyone who murders a fellow human must die. And if anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands, for God made human beings in his own image. Why, what does he do? I think here again, he reveals the sanctity of human life. Human life is sacred, friends. It is so sacred. And doesn't it bother you when people try to take human life into their own hands? Life belongs to God, friends, and it's a sacred life. It's almost like in this point, and some people believe that in these verses of Scripture that God is establishing even capital punishment for the taking of an innocent life, whether it's by an animal or it's by somebody else. Life is precious, friends, in the womb and outside the womb. From birth, pre-birth, to senior, elderly, to whatever age, until the Lord calls us home, life is sacred. And the Lord's the one that established that, friends, not me. I'm just reading you what God says, but I totally agree with God on that. Here's something else that he kind of established through this covenant is that he confirmed the covenant through this flood and through this covenant that he made with Noah. He confirmed it. He says, yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Well, we know that one day in the future that the heavens and the earth are going to pass away. And, you know, the elements of the earth are going to be burned with fire. Maybe not a flood, a fire, yeah. But he said in this covenant, he made this covenant, says, never again will the floodwaters cover the entire earth and kill all living creatures. So he confirmed that was some of the provisions. There was a confirmation of the covenant. And then he also gave that beautiful sign of the covenant, which is the rainbow. Verse 12, then God said, I'm giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all, listen to that, for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. You know, when the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness for those 40 years, what did God do? God led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That was a sign to them. You know, the eclipse that we saw Monday, you know, I believe those are signs from God in the beginning. You know, in Genesis, the Bible talks about that the sun, the moon, the stars are put into the sky for seasons and times and years, but also for signs. I believe God gave us a rainbow, a beautiful rainbow that's been so distorted through the last number of years. But friends, that's God's sign. That's God's covenant sign that he made with all creation. And aren't God's works beautiful, friends? Can I tell you, friends, that God's still looking for people like Noah that he can build covenant relationships with? You see, God still looks for those who find favor with God. You know, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, after God observed all the wickedness and all the corruption of the earth, he said, now here's Noah. And Noah found favor with the Lord. another word for favor in that interpretation of the Hebrew scriptures is that Noah found grace with God. He found acceptance with God. You see, friends, God looked upon the world and all he could find was one man and his family. And maybe the family's favor was based upon the man's favor. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I hope they were all righteous people because of this one man. But Noah found favor with God. You see, friends, God wants to do things for you and in you and through you. He wants to build relationships with you. He's made covenants with you. And he's looking for those that just have received and have honored him and have acknowledged him and been given favor. God sees favor. You see, friends, the Bible didn't say that Noah looked for favor. The Bible says he found favor. You see, friends, the grace of God is freely given for those that just honor God and love God and seek God. Amen. We don't buy grace or favor. Amen. Favor is given to those that honor God with their lives. You see, God's still looking for those who find favor. And last of all, God is still looking for those who have faith. If you go all the way into that great faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says this in closing. It says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By this faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You see, friends, God honors people of faith. God will honor your faith. God will honor you with favor. God will honor you with blessings. God's just looking for somebody who will believe in what he has said, who will obey him. Coram Deo, who will turn their hearts to the face of God and stand in his presence and will honor the authority of God and bring glory to God in every area of their lives. Friends, God's looking for that from you. You don't have to come to this church to honor God. You can honor God in everything you do, at your job, in your home, with your family, in the marketplace, wherever you go. You can honor God while you're watching an eclipse by giving him glory. God's just looking for people that will turn their hearts to him and will live for him with a faith, even a childlike faith that just accepts God for who he is and for what he does, even when we don't understand what God is saying or doing. God's just looking for faith. Will he find any such thing when he comes back? Will God find faith in the earth? Well, when God came and looked at the earth in the Old Testament, he didn't find much faith, only found one in a family. But when Jesus comes back, how much faith will he find in the church? How much faith will he find in the believer? How much faith will he find in this nation? Do we believe that God still has a plan for our nation? Do we believe that God still has a plan for our church? Do we believe that God still has a plan for our lives? And can I just say tonight, Coram Deo, Coram Deo, just stand in the presence of the one who wants to honor you for honoring him. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you for the covenant relationships that you made in our past, Lord, as you were not just thinking about our past, but you were thinking about our future, Lord, the plans that you have laid out for us for all eternity, Lord. And can I just say, your plans are good and perfect and just. I don't have to understand your ways to know that you're a good God and a faithful God. And God, your plans will always take precedence, will always be right what we need at the right moment and the right season. Lord, I love you. I love this church. I love our nation, Lord. And I just believe that you're not through here yet, Lord, that there's still a work to do. I still believe there are souls that need to come into the kingdom. And Lord, I don't believe you're coming back for a church that is limping alone, but you're coming back for a mighty fortress and an entity that is standing in on fire for you and bringing people out of the grasp of eternal hell and bringing them into a relationship of eternal life. Lord, I pray that people would see the light, come out of the darkness. That Lord, even as that, just as the moon began to break just a little bit past the sun after totality, it just took a little sliver for it all of a sudden just to begin to illuminate the earth. Lord, the light It shatters the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the true light. Lord, bless your people tonight. May they always stand in your presence. May they just stand and stare at your face and your spirit and just serve you and honor you, your authority, bring you glory in every part of their lives. Father, Coram Deo, we love you tonight. Thank you for those that are watching. Keep everybody safe. Bless them this week, Lord. And we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, guys. Well, thanks for watching. All of you that have joined on tonight, I appreciate you for coming in, for commenting. Amen. Just wave at somebody before you leave. Tell them, Coram Deo. Amen. Hey, guys, have a great night. Pastor Augustine is going to be coming on in just a few minutes on Vita Vertical and sharing his heart with his church congregation. So love you guys, man. Look forward to seeing you Sunday. Don't forget, 10:30. Hey, come early. Have some coffee. We even have some donuts. Get there early, though. Lord bless.